Okay, so do you want to tell people why your brain is like a box of frogs that's been run over by a truck and I have been absolutely dreading each and every interaction with you for the last while?
Yeah, so it's been I was thinking about this the other day, okay, right? I feel like we need to change the name of the show to The Harris Had a Shitty Week Show. Because literally every single episode starts with, so how's your week been? And then it's like me going on a rant, tirade of all the shit things that are going on.
All the insurmountable problems that you seem to struggle upon.
I actually used the word insurmountable in my email to one of my lecturers. So okay. Bang on there. So yeah, we talked last week, I think, about college and how things are just kicking off. Everything's so super crazy. And
yeah.
It's just like a huge tsunami of work all coming, you know, coming to a head at the exact same time at the end of the semester. So last week I was coming up to the very final week of semester two before the exams were due. And there was, I think I mentioned last week, loads of deliverables that needed to be done. And unfortunately, on the Monday of the last week, I had to go to my doctor's. We had moved from direct care from my psychiatrist to shared care, which is a thing in Ireland where they do half care with your GP and half care with your psychiatrist. So you essentially only have to go to your psychiatrist like once a year or once every 6 months instead of, you know, much more regularly.
Yeah, for me, it's every 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. So we had agreed in my last meeting with my psychiatrist that we would do that. Got an email or a text from the GP to say, look, you need to come in for a checkup, blah, blah, blah. So we organized a BP, 24-hour BP monitor, which I'd never had. I didn't find it, you know, too annoying. Everybody was saying it's going to be a pain in the ass. You know, you're not going to like it. It goes off every half an hour and wakes you up all through the night, but I found it okay.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's basically a box that's attached to you with a blood pressure cuff attached to your arm. And yeah, it gives regular blood pressure readings. It's a Holter monitor, it's called.
Yeah, so it's basically goes off every half hour. And then when you're, I think 11 o'clock, I switched over to every hour. But yeah, it wasn't too bad, except for when I was writing my reports and stuff or trying to code. And then every half an hour, you're like, oh shit, that's another half an hour gone. It's almost like a countdown clock.
Beep, beep, because,
yeah, it's like, oh no. That's another half an hour gone out of the time I have left to get these things finished. So it's almost like someone's, you know, standing behind you with a whip. Get it done. You're losing time. But yeah, that happened on Monday. So I was really productive on Monday, even with the cuff, and got a really good bit of work done on one of the major project deliverables. Then Tuesday comes around, up to the doctor in the morning to see how things are going, and got the, you know, just absolutely heart-wrenching news that my BP was too high to continue on my meds and that I essentially had to come off them immediately. Now, I hadn't taken them yet on Tuesday morning because I take them kind of more towards the late morning. So I didn't even have any in me at that stage. But yeah, he's essentially saying there's too high a risk of cardiac problems if you don't come off your meds immediately and don't take them. And then 4 weeks time, come back, we'll do another BP monitor for 24 hours and see how it is and go from there.
Okay.
And I was legit near tears when he said that, like, you know, can't just clear me away, because the stress and pressure of trying to get everything done is enough on its own without now basically being told you don't have the one thing that actually helps you to get all these things done anymore, and you just have to do it on your own, which you've struggled with your whole life, and actually have kind of an A-B test of a master's you've tried to do before and failed at because of the ADHD and because of the struggles of being able to focus for assignments and stuff like that. So it was a very rough Tuesday. Had a lot of support from friends and you and family and stuff like that. But yeah, it was very, very awful time on Tuesday. So I'm basically, yeah, like you said, my brain is all over the place. I can't keep a thought. I can't keep even like conversations alive or memory alive. Like we were talking about just before we popped on, there was a few things you were literally telling me as we turned on this call. And 2 seconds later, I'd completely, you know, forgotten about it.
Yeah. So, yeah. That conversation we'll come back to. But first of all, let's kind of dig into what you were talking about there. So first of all, your blood pressure was too high. Now, you're on Ritalin, which is, or as it's chemically known as, methylphenidate, which is known for raising blood pressure. So This is a common technique. If you're on Ritalin and if they check your blood pressure and they see that it is raised, the first thing they'll do is eliminate that potential causer and reassess. So first of all, did they say what your reading was? What the spikes were that were concerning?
Yeah.
Let me try. I'm asking you to remember that.
I know, yeah, but I do have it in there somewhere because you gave me the sheet and I looked at it before I went into the nurse to get the thing kind of scanned off and the data. And she gave me the sheet with all the info. And then I went into the doctor afterwards. So I think it was like 140 or 150 something over, I want to say 90 something.
Yeah.
And then it dropped by like 20 points overnight.
So I went to 120 over 80, that kind of thing overnight.
Like 114 or 120 over 76 or something like that.
Yeah. So that sounds like the 140 over 90, that would be considered hypertensive, which means high blood pressure.
Hashtag not medical advice.
Not medical advice. This is just general information. It's not medical advice and it's not intended to be any kind of diagnosis or anything like that. But yeah, that would typically signal or imply high blood pressure. Now, that by itself isn't generally speaking, a concern. The fact that it comes down when you're asleep and it goes up and down like that, that's normal. So what they'd want to see is next time you have the Holter monitor on, they will probably want to check it to see if it has stabilized. If it has stabilized, they will probably look at alternatives in terms of medication or alternative therapies that will work. If it hasn't stabilized, then that would mean that there's a different issue at play and they'd need to dig into that then. So ultimately, this is a good thing.
After all the stress of Tuesday, I came out of the office at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the evening, and I just had a thought to myself, like, as much pain and worry and stress as it's caused, the guy could have literally just saved my life. You know, I could have been going on for the next week on potentially getting a heart attack or some sort of serious cardiac problem. So, you know, changing the perspective to look at it like that kind of made me look at it a little bit differently and think about everything differently.
It also opens the door in another way. It gets you to look at alternative coping methods, alternative ways to deal with the symptoms. But before we talk about that, talk about how the week has been for you, because I know that's a general term that I tend to use every week.
Yeah.
But that was last Tuesday. We're now on Tuesday again.
Yeah.
As you've gone through the week, I'll talk about how it's been dealing with you. And that's been like trying to befriend a feral cat at the best of times. But how has it been for you, like, just dealing with things? First of all, processing exams, trying to run a podcast and trying to run a home and a family and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's not be under any illusions here. I do not run a home. Rachel runs a home.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I run away. That's what I do. I won't even dare to try and take any credit for that. The other stuff. So, like I say, Tuesday was a crazy day. The news was very difficult. I said it to him, you know, said it to the doctor when he said it to me. Could it be like stress, you know, because we've had a very stressful time. Could that be the cause of, you know, an elevated BP? Because I've been on the medication for over a year now, different medications, all stimulants. And I've had blood pressure tests and not had any issues with them. And I've never had any issues with blood pressure in the past. So I was kind of confused as to why it was happening now. And he mentioned, yeah, look, it could be stress, but it doesn't matter because, you know, we can't take the chance, which was fair enough. So my next conversation then was, well, look, does this, for me anyway, the answer is yes. But I wanted it from him as obviously my doctor. Does it constitute extenuating circumstances for things like deferrals for exams and extensions, you know, for assignments and stuff like that? And he said, absolutely. Look, this is it's a huge medical change. You know, so whatever you need in terms of medical certs or letters or anything like that, just let me know. He said, I thought he would write something up straight away, but he said, look, colleges usually have forms and stuff, you know, specific to the college. So go back and check what the story is with that and come back to me and let me know. So, yeah, got advice as well from some other friends who are in college and stuff like that. And they said the same, look, colleges are always on board with trying to help, especially in mental health circumstances, which this definitely was after getting that news. So, yeah, I tried to get my head around reaching out to the college for that kind of stuff. And it took a few days to find the right people and to get in touch with the right people and have those conversations. And then that kind of put me at ease quite a lot. I think it was like Friday by the time I was in touch with them, or by the time they were back in touch with me, Thursday or Friday, to get the specific forms and stuff like that. And then I was onto the doctor's office to try and get the letter sent over. And I was like, I had things due for the Sunday and the Monday. Is today Monday? Today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
I had things due for
there's
Sunday
a life example.
And the Monday. So I was kind of trying to, I was panic rushing to get everything in before Friday. You know, thinking that if I didn't get it in on time, then I wouldn't be afforded the opportunity to have extensions or stuff like that. So you got all that in on Friday. But taking it back anyway, that's kind of the college side and the deferrals and stuff like that. Going back through the days, so Tuesday I was very productive. Even though I had no medication, I was still kind of in the office for a good, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours working away and getting stuff done. Now, I think I explained it to friends as I was probably working at about 80% of my usual productivity, which is still quite high compared to what I would have been, you know, before medication. And that was the case for, say, 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah. What's up? It's all right. What's up? Yeah, so I was working at about 80% for, say, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday was like a completely different day altogether. I was like a completely different person. The fatigue, my God, it just walloped me in the face. You know, getting out of bed, I just wanted to get straight back into bed. I had no energy. Look, my body just felt completely drained. My mind felt like it hadn't turned on at all. And I really struggled to get anything done. And I struggle now to remember what I actually did on those days. But the fatigue, it's funny because I used to always say to Rachel, you know, I'm tired all the time. You know, she would come to me and say, I've had such a long day, I'm so tired. And I'd be like, I'm like that all the time. And then, you know, the obvious response from people who don't understand that is, well, you haven't done anything today. You know, you've just had your normal day sitting in the office all day.
This is actually a very common misconception about ADHD, that they think that people with ADHD have like boundless energy and they're just running around constantly, when actually fatigue is more common than hyperactivity.
Mm.
With people with ADHD, and you're living that right now. You're living that pure burnout feeling.
Yeah, and that's the way I was up until the medication. And that's where this kind of disconnect in understanding of why is Harvey so tired all the time? Or why is he saying he's so tired all the time,
yeah,
and he hasn't done anything? But I lived that my whole life, you know, especially kind of as I moved on into my 20s, my 30s. The fatigue and just constantly being drained, not being able to do a full day of kind of giving my energy to anything at that stage. And that's how I feel now. And it was really eye-opening the first couple of days and, you know, the last few days as well, to look at my life from the perspective of having been on the medication and having had that productivity and that new way of life, and then comparing it now to what it was like before. Because, you know, when you go through your life in a certain way, that's your life. You don't know any different. Then the medication comes and you're doing the titration, you're kind of upping your productivity, you're upping your dosages, and you kind of get to that plateau where everything is perfectly fine and you've kind of found that sweet spot. But by that stage, you don't have that kind of reflection available anymore, because you've gone through the process of changing medication and kind of bit by bit becoming more human and more productive and more kind of like everybody else. So to be taken off the medication then and be taken away from that new life it's kind of mind-blowing to realize. And I hadn't really thought about it, but now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, how in the good Jesus did I actually like get through my life? How did I get jobs? How did I study? How did I pass college? How did I do any of that the way I'm feeling now? Now, obviously I'm older now, but still, like, the level of fatigue, the level of, you know, just, it's brain fog. It's the most dense fog you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
That's what's in my head right now. The last few days.
I have some theories about that, about why, sorry, a call was coming in. I have some theories about that, about why you feel it more acutely now, and that why you, even though you feel the same way you did before, why it feels more like it feels harder to deal with and harder to process now. And like you, as I said, sorry, another call coming in. Why it's harder to process now, and why it's like, how did I cope with this before? How did I have jobs? How did I like maintain friendships? How did I do all that? Well, and
friendship thing is another story. Maintaining friendships has never been a strong suit for me.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a turn of a phrase. And for me, it's I was just persistent in being your friendship. And I think that's why I was able to break through that crusty exterior. But I have theories about that, and I'll come to it in a minute, because I want to talk to you about like your plans for the next few weeks. But before that, I want to talk about what it's been like for me dealing with you as someone who is currently medicated and someone who was currently the same as you, with a lot of the similar symptoms that you're talking about, with that kind of lack of focus, lack of direction, lack of energy or memory.
And Rachel just popped in there a few minutes ago. Maybe we should have kept her around to see what she feels as well.
Yeah.
How it's going for her.
That would be a little surprise guest of Let's Berate Her for a while. But yeah, for me, dealing with you since Tuesday. So first of all, on Tuesday itself, empathetically speaking, it was a blow to the gut. It was like, I knew what it would mean for me. So it would have crushed me in the same way as it very clearly crushed you. But since then, like, first of all, I tried to give you space, because I knew focus was going to be an issue. And if I pulled your focus, because at that point you hadn't made any decisions about college or about the assessments. So I was like, I can't really like bother you while you're working on assessments, because as we were both aware at that point, you had two massive assignments that were due at the end of that week. Then when like natural kind of planning conversations came up about the podcast and episodes we were going to do and different things we were going to be working on. And first of all, trying to get you to pin you down to a conversation was like trying to pin mist to a wall. And it was, you were flitting around like a beautiful, delicate little butterfly that I couldn't.
I need an example, because as we've spoke about, I have no memory of any of this happening. So, yeah, have you got any, like, examples to what you were like?
Yeah, well, I probably do. They're probably not super appropriate for this because there are many, many expletives where I was like, Harv, what the fuck are you doing, etc. Or Jesus Christ, Harv, for fuck's sake, will you listen to what I'm saying? Things like that. If you just scroll back through our chat on WhatsApp, I'm sure you'll see many, many, many examples of things that you haven't replied to, just FYI. Even today, there's been two specific examples. The first one is I've been recording all day some different shorts, some short form videos to put out at different times. And I was like, hey, will you have a look at this to check it? I've recorded five or six, and I think I sent you three of them. And I know if I ask you right now, have you watched them? Have you watched them?
Have I watched what?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, I have not watched them. But you see, and I'm like that as well, just generally though, you know, because when I do get content like that, I want to have time to actually sit down and properly look at it, which is difficult when there's a 2.5-year-old screaming in your ear that you want to play with a new sandpit. I will look at them.
I know you will, but like that's just the example there of...
In 4 weeks when I get my Ritalin back.
Exactly. The other example is when we were planning this episode, because when everything kind of died down about what you were going through and how you're going to process it and what the next steps were and all that kind of stuff, we were like, this is something that we need to talk about because it's something that a lot of people will experience. It's something that a lot of people will go through because, as I said, Ritalin or methylphenidate can cause this as a side effect where there can be raised blood pressure. People will be told they need to come off it, they need to seek alternatives, all that kind of stuff. So we decided, when I was able to actually get you to sit down and read a message, we decided that we were going to try and put this out there, try and talk about what you were going through and share that. So while we were planning this, Harv said, do you know what? Let's actually do this properly. Because when we approach these, we try and not over plan. We try and just have it conversational. Like a lot of the times when we're talking, we haven't prepared anything. We're sharing stories pretty live. For this one, it's a little different because Harv's been going through something really, really tough. So we've been kind of talking back and forth about this one all week when, again, I could get him to sit down and actually read a message. So Harv said earlier on, I want to do this one properly. We need to kind of do this one justice. So I want to put a plan in place where we kind of structure what we talk about. This was only, less than an hour ago. So I said, okay, great. Yeah, no, that's a really good idea. Let's do that. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open a doc and we're going to take some notes. We're going to follow a plan and we're going to actually have this be really, really structured. And it's like diamond. It's going to be golden. It's going to be amazing. So Harv, what's your plan? Oh, I don't know. My plan was that you were going to have a plan.
And look at how just on point and on the ball you are with your explanation of the plan. So I was right to delegate that to you. It's just unfortunate that I waited until we were starting to delegate it to you.
So yeah, the plan was that I would just pull a plan out of my arse. yeah. So
well, that's essentially what we've been doing for the last 6 months. So
yeah, that's fair to say. And it's been a really interesting week. But my heart, my soul, my everything that makes me productive now and remembers what I was like before, goes out to you because, like, it's a struggle at the best of times, and I developed coping mechanisms all through my life, and like there's coping mechanisms I've been able to let go of. There's been coping mechanisms I still hold on to. So that's something I want to talk to you about, what your plan is. Because I know for me, like when in my 20s, before I was medicated, I kind of self-medicated by kind of going out, meeting men, and ending up with bruised knees of an evening. That was my way of dealing with it and coping. So what are your plans, like, in terms of how you're going to deal with this, how you're going to cope with this? Because the dust has kind of settled now. This is going to be the way things are for a few weeks. So what way are you going to approach this? How are you going to deal with it?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting that you phrase it that way. Like, what's my plan, when we've just clearly established that type of mental gymnastic work is currently unavailable to me. And
404.
And not even that, but I haven't even thought about it like that. You know, I haven't even considered what I'm going to do for the next few weeks. And it's an interesting situation, because I've submitted all my forms, college forms, for assignment extensions and deferrals. You know, my original plan was to still do as much work as I possibly could and try to get them in on time. And if I didn't get them in on time, continue to work on them and submit them as soon as I could. You know, as soon as I had them to a quality where I was happy to submit them, which is tough because in semester one I did quite well, you know. So my standard of work is quite high. So to be able to get to that standard was already quite high. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday, complete write-offs, got absolutely nothing done. As much as I wanted to and needed to, got nothing done. So I need to wait now to get information back from the college to see what options are available to me. And that's going to kind of determine how I try to structure my thoughts and how I try to go about the next few weeks, because the semester's coming to an end. You know, marks have to be done by a certain amount of time, but I think it's mid-May. So that kind of gives me 2-week buffer for getting assignments in. But I physically and kind of psychologically aren't able to do it. Like, it's almost being like an invisible paralysis.
Yeah.
I'm not able to do it.
Well, you feel like you're not able to do it.
No, but I actually amn't able to do it. And I can say that having come from a Tuesday where I was in the office for 8-10 hours doing stuff, doing exactly what I needed to do, and then 2 days later being completely useless and sitting at the computer and not being able to click the thing I needed to click or type a sentence, you know, it's so strange. You know, we started this podcast, I know I'm going off on bloody tangents and all sorts, we started this podcast medicated. We started as people who had been through the process, we'd been through learning about ourselves, and we got to the other side in terms of we'd overcome a lot of the problems. Obviously, we still had problems and we still talk about those things, but we had overcome an awful lot of the issues that brought us to looking for diagnosis. And now the perspective is completely different. I have ADHD and I don't have anything to do. I can't do anything about it. You know, it's a difficult situation. Now, I'm in a lucky position, still being unemployed, where I don't have to worry about work and stuff like that. And college is coming up to a break, obviously, after the exams. I do have a placement that I need to start. That starts in mid-June or so. So I have a few weeks of play, you know. It's not a... Outside of the assignments and the exams, things aren't, you know, crazy busy in terms of needing the medication. It's really just the college stuff that was... that was keeping me, or that I needed the medication for. I don't have a plan, which probably makes an awful lot of sense. But also, I probably don't really need a plan, because there's two scenarios. There's a scenario where they grant me deferrals for the exams and I do them in August. That's all fine. Don't need to worry about it. And they grant me some sort of, you know, exception for the two remaining assignments, and then I don't have to worry about it. The other situation is I still get the deferrals. I don't think I've any issue with the deferrals. Like, I've got obviously the doctor's note and stuff like that, but it's the assignments, because they need to be marked by a certain time. Yeah. There's no remarking available. So essentially, I get the extension up until when they need to be marked, and I do my best, whatever I can do, which is probably going to be, you know, utter crap, and submit that and get a grade that's way below what I would have wanted, what I should have got, and live with it like that. But yeah, I think I took a perspective shift, you know. It was the end all and be all. I need to spend all day every day in the office, get the assignments done, get the studying for the exams done, and then, you know, and talking to friends and you and family and even the people in the college, you know, it kind of put me at ease, and I changed my perspective. And right now it's like, if I don't get what I need or what I wanted to get, then that's okay. And it's not the end of the world. And it's just something I'll have to live with.
That's a very healthy way to look at it. And as we move through the weeks, we will, I think we'll be talking about how you're coping with things, what methods you're using to kind of keep yourself grounded, and how you're wrecking my head, quite yeah. frankly.
It's funny, right? This is the other funny thing. So as all of this was happening, it was Friday. So I got the news on Tuesday, and it was Friday before it registered in my brain that I should be sharing this information with the people who are following us. Yeah. You know, I was so kind of, I almost imploded into myself and into my situation that I completely disregarded what we've been building and what we've been working on for the last 6 months. And it just kind of sprung on me as like, this is exactly the kind of, you know, firsthand experience, information, straight from the horse's mouth kind of stuff that people are coming to our channel and coming to our TikTok and our whatever else we have. They're coming for this kind of information and this kind of, you know, real life lived experience. And I was like, oh, I have to put out a video. And then I wanted to do it more and more, but I just couldn't do it, you know. And I wanted to do one this morning, and I couldn't do that. And I'll try to do more. I need to kind of just be, you know, kind of off the cuff type things. If I want to do it, I need to just hit play and speak whatever comes into my mind. And that's the plan, yeah. I have now for the next few weeks, I think.
I can assure you that what you're going through, what you're, as you said, when you hit record and when you do feel like you're in a position to get that stuff out, that what you're going through and what you're experiencing and the way you express that, there will be people who will resonate with. And it like, the, even the way you're talking and even the way you're kind of expressing how it feels, it reminds me of how it felt for both of us back at the start when we were looking for this, when we were separately, without even knowing that we were going through this. And it all feels so insurmountable. And this is something we're going to talk about more. And it's something that we're going to look back on, and I'm sure it'll be a great thing for you eventually. But right now, let's just see what we can to help you get through it. And that's actually something I'm going to lean on our listeners for, because I currently use my main method of dealing with things is the medication. You're kind of in a position now where you're in a bit of a limbo situation. So if anyone has any advice, if anyone has any techniques, a lot of people choose a non-medicated route. So what do those people do? What techniques do they use? How do they get through the days? How do they eliminate that brain fog? How do they kind of make sure they stay on track? That, as you said about the exams, how do they make sure they get through something like that? Job interviews, day to day, how do they keep themselves on track? So if anyone has any tips, absolutely let us know.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny, as I'm listening to you saying those things, like, we did those things. We don't know what they are now because, you know, it's a past life. But we did those things to get through job interviews and exams and big projects and stuff like that. So there are things and there are ways to trick the ADHD mind into working the way you want it to. So I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, who are still in that position to be using those. And like you say, there are people who choose the non-medicated route. It wasn't something that was working for me at the time, but I definitely know a few people who follow that kind of prescription. So let us know if there's any tips or anything like that. Definitely send them to me. Comment on the videos or whatever on the TikToks. Let me know. And until then, I'll just be sitting around here acting like the potato that I am.
Probably wrecking my head. So, yeah, people can reach out to us on our socials. It's typically at ADH Derpcast, pretty much across the board of all the socials. Feel free to like, comment, subscribe, give us as much feedback as you can. And please give us some feedback to help Harv, because not only for his sake, but for mine. Because
more so for yours, for your sanity.
It's been an interesting week. But thank you for everything so far. Thanks everyone for listening so far. Please feel free to give us any feedback. And remember to join the chaos, and we're all in this together.